We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, it is Josh Bow. It is Pod Maverick After Dark. It is just a little bit past 11 o'clock Texas time. A little bit late. We apologize for the late start. If you are just tuning in with us live, the Mavericks beat the Utah Jazz 113-97 in a game that resembled a Harlem Globetrotters game at times, in a good way for the Mavericks. Again, I'm Josh Bow. As you can tell, it is just me tonight. No Kirk Henderson. He's taking the night off, a much-deserved night off. Real life happens. So we need some nights off. Things happen. We can't start on time. We appreciate those that stick with us live, doing what you're going to do and supporting us. If you're listening on the audio-only feed, we still love you just as much, and we really appreciate all the support. So, yeah, there were some of y'all were talking about, you know, Josh, just take the night off. Not a big deal. You know, you got someone, a really nice commenter you can skip. You got too much going on. And I really appreciate that. But I felt the need that we need to talk about this game in some capacity because this was an outrageously entertaining game. This might have been the most fun I've had watching a Mavericks game all season. And I think that means a lot coming from me because as I've talked to Kirk about, I am less fan that I am now than I was, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Just when you do this media part, when you're on the media side of the aisle for so long, it's just kind of how it is. But this was so much fun. This was a very entertaining game to watch. The Mavericks had 18 dunks, a franchise record. It's the most dunks by a team in a game since the 2003-2004 season. Hat tip to Mark Folliwell on the Mavs broadcast team for that nugget. Don't know if we've got data going before that, but most dunks in an NBA game in the last 20 years is pretty ridiculous. It was fun. They were getting up and down the floor, 18 dunks, so many of them from Gafford, Lively, and Derrick Jones Jr. Looking at this now, it's pretty outrageous. So Jones, Gafford, and Lively combined to take 20 shots. They missed three. So they were 17 of 20 from the floor. Just absolutely outrageous night. It's kind of amazing that Lively only had 6 points considering how many dunks were going on. But he had his share. Gafford was the star of the show. 24 points, 10 of 11 shooting. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, which is pretty remarkable. Again, only missed one shot. Most of them were dunks. A lot of them were on the break. Kyrie Irving had a dunk. Luka went for an alley-oop that didn't get connect. He got fouled, and I think he had a little fun on the floor, kind of looking at Dante Exum, kind of like, why did you throw me an alley-oop? But it was that kind of night. Again, it was just that kind of night. The Jazz are stinky. They're stinky doo-doo. They, for the second consecutive season, punted away a chance at making the playoffs at the trade deadline by trading away basically a starter and two key rotation players. So they basically traded three of their top, you know, seven or eight players. Which is what they kind of did last season. And they're basically just kind of shamelessly tanking for the second year in a row. Very funny. The NBA moral police, not as outraged about the Utah Jazz doing what they've doing for the last 2 years, but seemingly the Mavericks throwing away two games when they weren't going to make the playoffs anyway is a travesty against the game of basketball. Weird. Don't know what's going on there, but the Jazz are not great and the Mavericks pretty much took care of business. I'm sure there were some fans that were a little annoyed that this game was not a wire-to-wire blowout. The Jazz did keep things a little bit maybe closer than people would expect. They did get it to a single-digit game right before the fourth quarter. And the Mavericks, it got to a single digit. I think it got to seven right before the third quarter ended. But it didn't get really much closer than that. I mean, the Jazz never had a chance to tie or take the lead in the second half. They really didn't have a chance midway through the second quarter. So the Mavericks kept the Jazz at arm's length. The Mavericks defense was a little spotty. Both teams lived in the paint. The Mavericks scored 62 points in the paint, which is, I don't know if this is the second or third game in a row where they've scored that many points in the paint. If I can look that up real quick, because they had 62 against Denver. They had 62 against the Jazz. What did they have against the San Antonio Spurs? They had 52. So their streak is broken, but they've sandwiched on either end two 60-point games in their last three games. Pretty outrageous when you consider this was one of the worst paint scoring teams in the NBA before the trade deadline. They're now in the top 10, I believe, since the trade deadline, a remarkable turnaround. Once again, the Mavericks win a game without making any of their threes. They shot 10 of 32, so under 35% again. The Jazz not quietly. It was pretty loud hearing those clangs off the rim. They shot 4 of 30, 13% from three. That was pretty much the game. The Jazz scored well in the paint, but it was turnovers and missed threes. The Jazz had 18 turnovers, which helped fuel the Mavericks' 27-10 fast break point advantage. They got on the break and ran a lot. The Mavericks had 12 steals. That's a lot. Anytime the Mavericks get double-digit steals, that's a lot for this team. Maxi Kleba had three. Luka had four, including what was undoubtedly the play of the season so far. Getting a steal, diving on the floor for the ball, flipping it, no look, over his head while on the floor to Kyrie Irving, who then gave it to Derek Jones Jr. for an alley-oop dunk. Literally a breathtaking play. Like, it was outrageous. Even I was kind of like, I don't emotionally react too much to plays in the middle of a game. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that was crazy. Easily the best play. That is the defining highlight of this Mavericks season. Unless it's the Kyrie Irving left-handed 20-foot half, 20-foot hook shot to win the game. It's one of those two. Just this week, and we're only at Thursday, the Mavericks play. This was the last game of the week for the Mavericks, but in 1 week, the Mavericks might have collected their two best highlights of the season. Just an outrageous game, outrageous play. Luka with four steals was amazing. I thought he played pretty well defensively on the ball. Again, no one really played well off ball. There was a lot of dribble penetration, which led to Walker Kessler getting a lot of shots around the rim. He was 7 of 7 from the field. But again, the Mavericks kind of did what they needed to do. They gave up a lot of dribble penetration, but they also forced, they had 12 steals, turned the Jazz over 18 times, although some of them, were the Jazz's own doing. So really, outside of the shooting, outside of some of the defensive mistakes on the perimeter, perfect game, really, and just kind of goes to show the wild transformation that this team has taken since the trades for Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. I've got it up right now, and I'm looking at it, and I still can't really believe it. So the Mavericks have now won 7 of their last 8 games. the only loss being a loss at Oklahoma City on the second night of a back-to-back without Luka Doncic. And they only lost, it was a clutch game for the most part. So it wasn't even that bad of a loss, all things considered. In these eight games, in these seven wins out of the last eight games, the Mavericks have only shot above 35% or more from three in two of them. They shot 39% from three in the win against Miami. They shot 36.8% from three to win against Detroit. The other five wins under 35%, 31% against Chicago, 22% against Golden State, 25% against Denver, 33% against the Spurs, 31% against Utah. They've only made the most threes they made in a game in this run was 16 against Miami. They've been under 15 made threes in every other game, including the wins. This was a team that was averaging almost 17 made three-pointers a game going into the All-Star break. And they've been under that number, in under 17 made threes in every single game of this 7-of-8 stretch. It's a remarkable turnaround. And I think that there was a lot of commentary about the Mavericks shooting too many threes, I think, in the Luka Doncic era, start going back to the 2020 bubble team with Kristaps Porzingis. And I remember a lot of the conversation was, why are the Mavericks shooting so many threes? And it felt really weird because I was like, my point was always, what else are they going to do? The Mavericks very deliberately built a team of standstill spot-up three-point shooters around Luka Doncic to maximize Doncic's gift at finding three-pointers, whether it's out of the pick-and-roll or the double team. Definitely a fair roster-building strategy when you consider how good Luka is at creating open three-pointers. But that was about it. They did not have a lot of dynamicism on the roster. They did not have a lot of guys that could attack the paint. They did have some rim threats, lob threats in terms of Dwight Powell and even Kristaps Porzingis a little bit. But they didn't have elite rim runners for the most part outside of Dwight Powell, who was elite, but it's different. You know, it's just his athleticism is different compared to what Gafford and Lively are. So it was funny because there was so much commentary I saw during those years where it's like the Mavs need to stop shooting so many threes. And it's like, well, that's the players they have. That's the roster. Lo and behold, you change the roster, you change the style. Wow. Like a wild theory. You draft Derek Lively, you trade for Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. So you're already adding three of the best athletes I think Doncic has played with since he entered the NBA. You add Dante Exum, who is easily the best backup guard that they've had in some time. You know, they missed, you know, once Jalen Brunson became a full-time starter, they did not have good backup guard play. They had Spencer Dinwiddie, who was more of a scorer off the bench than he was someone that ran the offense. It was very evident when Luka was off the floor and Dinwiddie was on the floor. In those Dinwiddie years, the Mavericks offense was terrible. So they finally have a true backup point guard after Brunson left. They finally replaced, you know, Brunson with Kyrie Irving. Add Derek Jones Jr. You know, this team has athletes. They have more athletes than they've ever had at any point since they've drafted Doncic. They have more elite rim runners on this roster than they've ever had since they drafted Doncic. You know, Gafford and Lively are two of the best finishers in the NBA. You know, remember it wasn't that long ago when it was Willie Cauley-Stein bricking layups and JaVale McGee, you know, taking wild shots or turning the ball over, trying to do too much. Like, the Mavericks have a different roster, so it's not insane that they're playing differently. You bring in rim runners, you bring in athletes, you bring in a better guy to play backup point guard so that when Luka and Kyrie are off the floor, there's someone that can still initiate offense and settle things down. You also bring in a guy that can play with Luka and Kyrie and also take some of the burden off of him. Kyrie had a dunk. Like, it's pretty crazy, the transformation. But it's logical. Like, you just look at the pieces they brought in, you look at the pieces shipped out. This is kind of how the Mavericks should be playing. So, again, like, it's great to see them transform into a paint team. It's great to see a team that can battle on the boards. They had 11 offensive rebounds. They out-rebounded the Jazz 43-38. yeah, it's just fun to watch. It's fun to watch a different style. You know, the Mavericks so often, I mean, I made that flow chart that everyone likes to laugh at on Twitter, where it's, did the Mavericks role players make the open threes Luka Doncic created for them? Yes, they look like a finals team. No, they look like a, they look like a lottery team. That is, I don't want to bury that meme right now. Don't want to give it a proper Warriors burial, Warriors funeral, Viking funeral. But we're getting close. We're getting very close. This team can win in different ways. It can win by dominating the glass. It can win by dominating the paint. And it can win when you've got two of the best shot makers in the NBA right now. And they didn't even need to make a ton of shots. Obviously, Luka still got 34 points. Kyrie had 16. But they didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Kyrie was 7 of 19, 2 of 8 from 3. Luka was 11 of 23, did make 4 of 10 from 3. But you know, Mavericks had 33 assists. Luka, everyone in the starting lineup had at least 2 assists except for PJ Washington, which is totally fine. Derek Jones Jr. had 2, Gafford had 5, Irving had 7, Luka had 8, Hardy had 5 off the bench. Need to shout out Jaden Hardy, probably the best he's looked in some time. I know he's been playing well for the most part since the All-Star break, but he kind of gets, his minutes have been kind of herky-jerky. When you consider how he looked in the 17 minutes against the Thunder, which I think he played pretty well considering the circumstances, 17 minutes he played tonight. 5 assists, 1 turnover. His passing has been really good. I think having more rim runners this season compared to last season has really helped him a lot in the pick and roll game. His scoring is still hit or miss, but his passing looks so much better when he's got Gafford and Lively to throw the ball to, as opposed to basically just Dwight Powell, you know, maybe Christian Wood. And I'm a Dwight Powell guy. That's not a disrespect to Dwight Powell, but, you know, Gafford and Lively are kind of on another level athletically, with the way they're able to pressure the rim with their verticality and their rim running. So again, pretty much a fantastic game. And what a fantastic timing to have a fantastic game, because we're doing standings watch. The New Orleans Pelicans lost to the Orlando Magic. And I think Brandon Ingram might've suffered an injury and had to leave that game, which is huge for the Pelicans, because Ingram had been playing very well. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. He only played 21 minutes. So I think he might have had an injury, had to leave that game early. That was huge for the Mavericks, for the outside chance of chasing the fifth seed. But the more important thing, of course, is the sixth seed. And the Sacramento Kings lost to the worst team in the NBA, the Washington Wizards. The Mavericks are now in sole possession of sixth place. They are sole possession of the final seed out of the play-in. They are a half game ahead of the Sacramento Kings, and they now will play the Kings twice next week. They play Utah once more, then they play the Kings on the second night of a back-to-back, then they play the Kings again on Friday. So next week could very well determine if the Mavericks are in or out of the play-in, but they've done a very good job at setting themselves up by being a half game up going into what should be a showdown with the Kings, unless, you know, something happens against Monday against Utah. But I fully expect the Mavericks to still be at least a half game up going into that Sacramento game. There's a chance to create some separation. There's a chance for them to finally feel a little more secure in their spot in the standings. Also, the Phoenix Suns are in a dogfight with the Atlanta Hawks right now. The Suns have a 3-point lead, 96-93, going into the fourth quarter. So we won't get that result before we're done with the podcast, but that would be another win for the Mavericks to create some distance between them and Phoenix. Because right now, as the standings look right now, Dallas, Sacramento, and Phoenix are separated by a half game. Mavericks are at 41-29. Sacramento and Phoenix are at 40-29 each. So big, big upcoming 7 days for the Mavericks. That's for sure. Those games against the Kings are going to be absolutely huge. The Kings won the first two games. So if the Mavericks want to have any chance at having a tiebreaker, you know, they need to win both. If they win both, they'll also create some major separation in the standing. So can't emphasize enough how important those games are. But until then, the Mavericks have to keep taking care of business. And when you, speaking of taking care of business, the last point I want to hit on before we get out of here, I've been talking for about 19 minutes, so apologies for not a longer podcast on what is really was a really fun game. I wish we could talk more, but I'm about to go hoarse, and I need to get to bed after a pretty rough night. The Mavericks are now 23-5 against below 500 teams. I'll repeat that. The Mavericks are 23-5 against below 500 teams. They are now tied for the most wins against losing teams in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City, Denver, and the Los Angeles Clippers all each have 23. Technically, the Nuggets and the Clippers have a better record against below 500 teams because they're 23-4. So the Mavericks are a half game off there. This is the second most wins against below 500 teams in the entire NBA. The only team with more than 23. I'm sorry. They're not tied for second. Apologies. Looking at the wrong column. The most is Boston, 26. Cleveland has 25. Orlando also has 26. The Knicks have 24. And so those are the only other teams ahead of the Mavericks and below 500 wins. This is huge because a season ago, the Mavericks were 15-16 against teams below 500. That is a remarkable turnaround for one game below 500 against below 500 teams to now, I don't know, 23-18 above 500. It's basically why the Mavericks are where they are. Obviously, the win against Denver was huge and was pretty amazing. But for most part, the Mavericks have not beaten good teams, which is okay for a team that's coming off 38 wins and you finish 11th in the West. The way you get back into the playoffs, the way you avoid the play-in, is you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You take care of business. And that's exactly what the Mavericks have done. And luckily for the Mavericks, they are not playing a lot of above 500 teams close out the season. They only have four more games against teams above 500. Sacramento twice and Golden State twice. Oh, sorry, five games. Sacramento twice, Golden State twice, then Miami. The Houston Rockets are making a charge. They're 34-35, so they might be above 500 by the time the Mavericks play them. And the Mavericks play them twice. But still, the Mavericks, if you look at their schedule right now, no team they play to close out their schedule has more wins than the Mavericks, except for the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is the last game of the season, and that game might not matter. So the Mavericks' schedule is set up for them to really go on quite a run. You know, yes, they're going to go on a long road trip. They're about to go on a five-game road trip here. They've got a couple back-to-backs. Only four home games to close out the season. But with how the Mavericks are playing right now, I would honestly expect them to be favored. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Barring injury, I would expect them to be the favorite in maybe 10 of their last 12 games, the betting favorite. They've really got a great schedule to close the season, and they have a chance to do something special. They have a chance to get to 50 wins, remarkably enough. The Mavericks are now just 9 wins away, and they've got 12 games left, so they can squeeze in 3 losses somewhere. When a team's winning 7 out of 8, hard to find 3 losses right now, especially when they're not playing any of the top 5 in either conference to close the season, besides Oklahoma City, which, again, that game might not matter because it's the last game of the season, so we'll see. But yeah, things are going great. The Mavericks are winning. They're winning without shooting because they've changed their roster and they've acquired athletes. They've acquired more defensive-minded players. So yeah, that's pretty amazing. I don't really want to go more into the weeds than that. I appreciate you guys watching on the live stream for checking us out. Please like and subscribe. We're not going to do a podcast break because we're just going to wrap up the podcast right now. So I appreciate you guys watching live. If you're watching live, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening to our audio only feed, hopefully you're subscribed to whatever your favorite podcast app is. Leave us a review on that favorite podcast app. So I appreciate it. T-Bone, the disco spider, do a live show. I would love to, but I really need to get to bed. You know, maybe next time. We'll see what happens. Kirk might be back. If Kirk's not back, we'll see what happens. But we got some time off. Mavericks aren't playing again until Monday, so we got some days off. So let's everyone recharge, rejuvenate. Everyone watch the Panda Hank YouTube highlights, which will surely be out by the time I'm done recording this. I'm glad everyone got to enjoy a really great game. Glad the American Airlines Center crowd got to get up on their feet and have something fun to cheer about. Again, just the vibes are great. It was a great win. Mavericks playing well. And that's it for me. This is Josh Bowe, Pod Maverick. Please check out MavsMoneyBall.com, our website. Oh, that's one more thing. Just so much great stuff on MavsMoneyBall.com right now. Really one of our better weeks we've had. And not just game coverage stuff, although our game coverage stuff has been very good and it's always consistently very good. And I really appreciate the work our staff does. I just want to shout out the non-game day stuff we have. Meta Robertson, one of our premier columnists. We love everything she puts on the site. I'm so happy I responded to her DM, I think like 12, 18 months ago, when she was kind of just inquiring because she was a fan of the site, and offered some pieces. And I'm glad she's a part of our staff. Wrote a really tremendous column about a Luka Kyrie moment that she observed in the Denver game. Go check it out. It's really, really wonderful writing. Matt Martinez wrote a really fun piece about which X-Men are the Mavericks in a light of the X-Men 97 animated series premiering on Disney Plus this week, revitalizing the X-Men cartoon from the late 90s. That's a really fun one. I love it when we can do kind of the outside the box pieces and that aren't just talking about the game. Then Gracie wrote a really fun piece this week. Where is it? Mavericks have discovered a new formula for winning. She talked about how, you know, basically what we talked about tonight, you know, the Mavericks are winning games without burning the nets from beyond the arc. You know, they're winning with rebounding, they're winning with paint scoring. And she got into that, and that's a really fun piece. Then I wrote a longer feature on the Luka Kyrie combo that came out on Wednesday that I had been working on since before the All-Star break when the Mavericks started winning. You know, they're in the middle of 7 wins in a row. I'm looking at the data. I'm looking at how they're playing. I'm like, I'm going to write about Luka and Kyrie and how well they're playing and how this can be maybe a championship level duo if things fall right. And then the Mavericks lost 5 out of 6. So I kind of held on to it. Now that they're winning again, I kind of got it finished and got it out there. I like this piece. I don't normally like a lot of the stuff that I write, but I enjoyed that piece. Check it out if you want to see some good numbers about the Luka Kyrie combo, how they stack up against other elite duos across the NBA, some specific breakdowns and film of Luka and Kyrie working together, Kyrie screening for each other. And then, you know, I go into how the trade deadline acquisitions are fitting in around the team and helping accentuate the Kyrie Luka stardom, which is working pretty well so far. So check out MavsMoneyBall.com. A lot of good stuff. So that's it. Let's go. Matthew Phillips, staffer, almost Superman, could have joined, but he was at the game. So I'm glad he got to enjoy it. Matthew's got some stuff on the site as well. Believe he's got some game day stuff that he's written recently. So shout out to Matthew. And we're going to get out of here. Mavericks beat the Jazz 113-97. This is Josh Bow for Pod Maverick and for MavsMoneyBall.com. We will talk to you guys next week. Have a good weekend. Stay safe out there.